I get ready to dive deep. Lately, we've been hearing so much about IoT security, and you sent over some articles about a massive data breach, like a truly massive one. We're talking 2.7 billion records exposed.
Wow.
To put that in perspective, that's bigger than the population of many countries.
Yeah, that's huge.
Just a crazy amount of data. And that's what we're going to be looking at in this deep dive. How could this happen? Who was affected, and what can you do to protect yourself?
Sounds good. Let's get into it.
So before we get too far, let's make sure everyone's on the same page. IoT, the Internet of Things, refers to all those everyday devices that are connected to the internet. We're talking like smart refrigerators, smart lights, even those smart toothbrushes that track your brushing.
Yeah, pretty much anything you can imagine these days can be connected.
And it's pretty amazing to think how much this technology has changed our lives. But this breach really highlights the potential dangers when security isn't taken seriously. In this case, the company involved is Mars Hydro. They make those smart grow lights that are becoming pretty popular these days.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those advertised.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Apparently, their Mars Pro app, which is what you use to control the lights, well, it was leaking data like a sieve.
That's not good.
And what makes this even more concerning is that Mars Hydro's privacy policy specifically stated they didn't collect user data.
So this breach, which was uncovered by a cybersecurity researcher named Jeremiah Fowler, completely exposed that claim as false.
Yeah, it's pretty concerning. So how did Fowler even find this unsecured database?
Well, he was doing some research looking for vulnerabilities, and he just stumbled across this database completely unprotected.
No password protection, no encryption, just sitting out in the open.
Yeah, it was just out there for anyone to find.
So what kind of information are we talking about here? What exactly did Fowler find in this database?
Well, pretty much everything a hacker could ever want.
Like what specifically?
Wi-Fi names and passwords, IP addresses, device IDs, even details about the user's operating system.
So all that information was just readily available for anyone to access.
It was like a treasure trove for cybercriminals.
Yeah, so someone could theoretically use that information to get into my home network.
It's definitely a possibility, and that's just one of the immediate risks in a breach like this.
Yeah, I'm suddenly feeling a lot less secure about my own smart home setup.
It's a valid concern. Unauthorized network access is definitely a major issue, but it goes beyond just someone snooping around your files.
What else could they do?
Think about the possibility of your devices being recruited into a botnet.
Okay, you've lost me a bit there. What exactly is a botnet?
Imagine this: you have your innocent smart refrigerator just doing its thing, keeping your food cold, and suddenly it's weaponized along with thousands of other compromised devices.
Oh.
They all start sending requests to a target website, like a bank, for example,
okay.
and they just overwhelm the servers, effectively shutting them down. That's the power of a botnet, turning everyday devices into a digital army for these malicious attacks.
Wow, that's scary. So my fridge could be part of a digital crime spree, and I wouldn't even know it.
That's the scary part. You'd probably have no idea.
So I gotta ask, are companies just cutting corners on security to get these smart devices to market faster?
It's a complex issue, but unfortunately, security isn't always the top priority,
Yeah.
especially with newer technologies like IoT.
And I imagine these devices are constantly being updated with new features and functionality.
Exactly. So keeping up with security can be a real challenge.
So how often should I be updating my smart devices?
Ideally, you should be checking for updates regularly for all your devices, not just your phone or computer.
Okay, but realistically, how often do people actually do that?
Our research shows that a staggering 57% of IoT devices are running outdated software,
Oof, that's a lot.
which makes them incredibly vulnerable to attacks.
And it gets worse. A whopping 98% of IoT traffic is unencrypted.
So all this sensitive data is basically being transmitted in plain text, just out there for anyone to intercept.
Okay, this is officially terrifying. But before I unplug every smart device in my house, let's dig a little deeper into what makes them so vulnerable. These articles you sent mentioned something called a nearest neighbor attack. What is that?
That's where things get really interesting. This type of attack exploits the proximity of Wi-Fi networks.
Okay.
So let's say a hacker wanted to target a company's network.
Right.
Instead of going after them directly, they could hijack a nearby Wi-Fi network,
Like what?
like a coffee shop across the street, or even a neighbor's unsecured network.
And use that as a springboard?
Exactly. They can use that compromised network to get into the company's system.
So even if my home Wi-Fi is secure, my neighbor's unsecured network could be putting me at risk.
It's entirely possible, and this isn't just theoretical.
Oh, no.
Back in 2024, Russian hackers reportedly used this very technique to compromise a Washington, D.C.-based organization.
Really?
Yeah, it just goes to show how interconnected our digital world is and how one weak link can have serious consequences.
So it's not enough to just protect your own devices. You have to be aware of the security of those around you, too.
That's exactly right. It's a shared responsibility.
Well, this is all very unsettling. I'm starting to think maybe the convenience of these smart devices isn't worth the risk.
I understand that feeling, but before you go full Luddite, let's talk about what you can do to protect yourself.
All right, because right now I'm ready to throw my smartphone in the river and move to a cabin in the woods.
Okay, maybe not that drastic, but there are definitely steps you can take to stay safe in this increasingly connected world.
I'm all ears.
We'll dig into those right after the break.
Okay, so let's talk solutions. Knowing what we know now, what can we actually do to protect ourselves in this increasingly connected world?
Well, the first step is acknowledging that security is an ongoing process. It's not just a one-time fix.
Right, so no more setting it and forgetting it when it comes to my smart devices.
Exactly. It's about building good habits and staying vigilant.
Okay, so what kind of habits should I be thinking about?
Start with the basics. Update the firmware on all your smart devices.
All of them?
Yeah, all of them. Don't just focus on your phone and computer. That smart speaker, those connected light bulbs, they need attention too.
Okay.
And while you're at it, ditch those default passwords.
Oh yeah, those...
Use strong, unique passwords for each device. I know it's a pain, but a password manager can really be a lifesaver here.
So treat every device like it's my main computer when it comes to security.
Exactly. You got it.
But realistically, with new devices coming out all the time, are individual efforts even enough? Shouldn't manufacturers be doing more to build security into these products from the start?
Absolutely. Manufacturers have a huge responsibility here. It's not enough to just slap a smart label on a product and call it a day.
Right.
They need to prioritize security from the ground up, bake it into the design and development process.
Not just tack it on as an afterthought.
Exactly. It should never be an afterthought.
I'm picturing some engineer in a back room being told, okay, now make it secure right before a product launch.
Yeah, sadly, that's not too far off sometimes. But there are signs of progress. Some manufacturers are starting to adopt this security by design principle,
okay,
where security is considered at every stage of the product lifecycle.
And what does that involve?
Things like secure coding practices, conducting thorough vulnerability testing, and making it easier for users to update their devices.
So it's a much-needed shift in mindset.
It is.
But honestly, I feel like companies will only do the bare minimum unless someone forces them to do more. Is there a role for government regulation in all of this?
Regulation is a double-edged sword.
How so?
On the one hand, it can help establish minimum security standards and create a level playing field for manufacturers.
Okay.
But on the other hand, overly burdensome regulations can stifle innovation and make it harder for smaller companies to compete.
So it's about finding that sweet spot.
Yeah, finding that balance between protecting consumers and fostering innovation.
Are there any examples of regulations that are already in place or being considered?
There are a few initiatives worth mentioning in the U.S. There's the CyberTrust Mark program.
Okay.
It's still in development, but the idea is to create a labeling system that helps consumers easily identify IoT devices that meet certain cybersecurity criteria.
So kind of like an Energy Star rating, but for security.
Exactly.
What about internationally? Are there any regulations in other countries?
The European Union has the General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR.
GDPR, right.
Yeah, and it has some pretty strict rules about data privacy and security. It applies to IoT devices as well, and it's been pretty influential in shaping global conversations about data protection.
So there's some movement on the regulatory front, but it sounds like things are still evolving. So while we wait for governments and manufacturers to get their act together, are there any additional steps individuals can take to beef up their own security? We've talked about updating firmware and changing passwords, but are there any other more proactive measures?
Absolutely. There are a few things you can do to be more proactive. When you're shopping for new devices, do your research, read reviews, look for products from manufacturers with a good track record on security.
Okay.
And be wary of super cheap devices that might be cutting corners.
So it's like voting with your wallet, supporting the companies that are doing things right.
Exactly. And when you are setting up a new device, take the time to understand its security settings. Don't just blindly click through those default options.
We've all been there.
Make sure you're comfortable with the level of data collection and sharing and adjust those settings accordingly.
It's easy to get caught up in the excitement of a new gadget and just want to get it up and running, but those few extra minutes configuring the security settings can make a big difference.
Exactly. Those few minutes can save you a lot of trouble down the road.
Anything else?
Have you ever heard of network segmentation?
It sounds familiar, but I can't quite place it.
It involves creating separate Wi-Fi networks for different types of devices. You could have one network for your computers and smartphones, another for your smart home devices, and maybe even a guest network for visitors.
So like building digital walls within my own home.
That's a great way to put it.
What's the benefit of that?
Think of it as containing a potential breach. If one device gets compromised, it's less likely to affect other devices on a different network.
That makes sense.
It's a bit more work to set up initially, but it adds an extra layer of protection.
This is all great advice, but part of me still wonders if we're fighting a losing battle. As technology advances, will it even be possible to stay ahead of the hackers? I mean, they always seem to be one step ahead.
It's true. Cybersecurity is constantly evolving. As technology advances, so do the threats.
Right.
But the good guys are getting smarter, too. There are so many talented security researchers, ethical hackers, and cybersecurity professionals dedicated to making our digital world safer.
Okay, so it's not all doom and gloom.
Not at all. There's a lot of innovation happening in the cybersecurity space. New tools and techniques are being developed all the time to help us identify and mitigate threats.
So we have to adapt our approach as technology changes.
Exactly. And that's why this Mars Hydro breach is such an important reminder for everyone from tech giants to individual users. We need to be having honest conversations about the trade-offs between convenience and privacy and make informed choices about how we integrate technology into our lives.
So beyond these practical tips, it sounds like a shift in mindset is needed as well. We can't just blindly trust that our devices are secure. We have to be active participants in our own digital safety.
Precisely, and that's what we'll explore in the final part of this deep dive. This breach wasn't just about some passwords being exposed. It brings up some pretty profound questions about data privacy in an increasingly interconnected world.
Okay, so we've talked about the technical side of this IoT data breach, and we've gone over some practical steps people can take to protect themselves. But now I want to dive into those philosophical questions you mentioned about data privacy. In a world that's so hyper-connected, it feels like we're always trading a little bit of our privacy for convenience. So at what point does that become a problem?
It's a question that keeps getting more and more relevant as those lines between our physical and digital lives just get blurrier. And this breach is a perfect example. People using an app to control grow lights probably didn't think their Wi-Fi passwords would be up for grabs.
Yeah, it's like the fine print no one reads and suddenly comes back to bite you, but is this just the price we pay for living in a smart world? Is anything truly private anymore?
Well, that's where things get philosophically interesting. That traditional idea of privacy is being challenged because we live in a world where data is constantly being collected, often without us even realizing it. And it's not just about what we choose to share. It's about the data trails we leave behind with every online interaction.
You mean like my smart speaker listening to my conversations or my fitness tracker knowing where I go every day?
Exactly. And think about it. The more devices we connect, the more data points are created. All those data points come together to form this detailed picture of our lives, our habits, even our vulnerabilities. And that raises the question, who owns this data and how should it be used?
It feels like the Wild West out there, but besides the creepiness factor, are there any real tangible risks to all this data collection?
Definitely, the more data that's out there, the more chances there are for it to be misused. Think about identity theft, targeted advertising, even discrimination based on information pulled from our data trails. It's not just about someone stealing your credit card number anymore. It's about the potential for manipulation and control.
That's a good point. We talk a lot about technical solutions, but what about the human element? I mean, we click accept on those privacy policies without even reading them. Are we, in a way, complicit in this erosion of privacy?
It's true. We often put convenience over privacy, and that leaves us vulnerable. I think we need to become more aware of what data we're sharing and be more critical of the companies we trust with that data.
So it's not just about firewalls and encryption. It's about making conscious choices about our digital lives. But realistically, most people aren't security experts. How can we empower everyday users to handle this complex landscape?
I think education is key. We need to break down cybersecurity and make it relevant to people's everyday lives. It's not just about teaching people to make strong passwords. It's about helping them understand the bigger picture of data privacy and why it matters.
So less jargon, more real-world scenarios that people can actually connect with.
Exactly. We need to meet people where they are and empower them to make informed choices. It's about creating a culture of cybersecurity where everyone understands their role in protecting themselves and each other.
I like that idea, a collective responsibility for our digital well-being. But with the scope of this breach and how interconnected our world is, does that even feel possible?
It's a big challenge, but I'm optimistic. We've overcome huge technological hurdles in the past. I mean, we created the internet. This is just the next frontier.
You're right. It's easy to get caught up in how big the problem is. But thinking back through this deep dive, I've heard some reasons for hope. New security innovations, more awareness among consumers, and some movement on the regulatory side.
Exactly. We're at a turning point, and the choices we make right now will shape the future of our digital world. We can create a future where technology helps us without jeopardizing our privacy and security.
That's a powerful thought and a great note to wrap up on. This deep dive has been quite the journey, and I appreciate you guiding us through it. To our listeners out there, I hope this conversation has been informative, Maybe a little unsettling at times, but ultimately empowering.
Me too. This breach is a wake-up call, but it's also a chance to learn, adapt, and build a more secure future.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive. Stay safe out there, and remember, knowledge is your best defense in the digital world.